Reading this evening is from Deuteronomy, and I'm going to read all of Deuteronomy chapter 30. So, Deuteronomy chapter 30, which is on page 208 of the Church Bibles. When all these blessings and curses I have sent before you come upon you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I am giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your fathers. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea and get it and proclaim it to us, so that we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you that this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you. Against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thanks be to God for his word. Well, it falls to me to speak on the last Sunday of 2015. In some ways, I've never actually been a great fan of making anything very special of the turn of a page in a calendar. But moving from one year to another certainly provides an opportunity to reflect on what has gone before and to anticipate what lies ahead. Even the name of the month of January itself contains at least something of that looking to the past and looking forwards, because it's at least partly related to the ancient Roman god Janus, the mythological god of change and transition, of doors and openings, especially openings into the future. And he was often depicted with two faces, one looking backwards, one looking forwards. Well, enough of mythological gods. Let's turn to the real God. I'm not sure at what time of the year Moses was speaking to the ancient Israelites, except that it probably wasn't actually New Year. But it was at a very significant time. The Israelites had spent 40 years wandering in the desert, and now it was time to enter the promised land. Before they entered the land, Moses calls the people together and gives them advice, challenge, and warnings. Well, I am no Moses, but as we look forward to 2016, it did seem appropriate to look at a passage that looks forward more than backwards. I think reading the passage, the thing that most struck me about what Moses told the Israelites was that what they should do was straightforward. There was to be nothing esoteric about his advice. What I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. I suppose the mere fact that Moses had to tell the Israelites that it was simple indicates that he believed that they were looking for something difficult. And so often we're the same. We look for some complex answer to a simple problem. We can search for some difficult ways of doing things, some complicated method, some hidden secret. Or we can look for the answer from far away, up in heaven or across the sea. And don't we still do that? In medicine, we often used to say an expert was somebody who came from far away and brought slides, or nowadays, I suppose, a PowerPoint presentation. And in the church realm, the area of church things, we often look to famous invited preachers as the ones who will sort us out, the ones who will bring a special word from God. No, says Moses, it's much more simple than that. What needs to be done is already known to you. God's word is already in your mouths and hearts. All you need to do is to obey it. And what is it? In some ways, it almost sounds too simple. In verse 16, love the Lord your God, walk in obedience to him, and keep his commands, decrees, and laws. And here, Moses is simply repeating what he had said after the second giving of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That was also the answer the so-called expert in the law gave to Jesus when the Lord asked him what the law said about how to inherit eternal life. Jesus commended him for giving the right answer, that he had to love the Lord his God with all his heart, all his soul, and with all his strength. He was commended, and then Jesus moved on to teach him who his neighbor was. Sometimes, like the ancient Israelites, we probably need to get back to basics. We need to be sure that we're putting devotion to God first. Yes, we need people to help us. We need guides. We need encouragers. But most of all, we need God and to be in a relationship with Him. We're reminded of that even this morning. For sure, the Bible has plenty of rules, but ultimately, it's not about rules. It's about relationships. It's not about the rules that you have to keep to please God. It's about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simple, but never too simple. And then Moses goes on to make it rather clear that the choice is quite a stark one, a very clear-cut choice. Obey God, and things will go well with us. Disobey Him, and there will be disaster. Well, that requires quite a lot of explanation, and explanation with some sensitivity. Many of us seek to obey God and yet still face much trouble, opposition, and sadness. Others lead lives which seem to us in almost total opposition and disobedience to God, and yet they seem to prosper. Well, when we ask that question, why do I obey God, and yet things go wrong, you're asking a question that's been asked often before. And in Psalm 73, the psalmist asked it. He said, "I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong." When he tried to understand, he was troubled deeply. But it was only when he entered the temple of God that he understood the answer. The wicked might prosper for a while, but their final destiny would not be good. And when their own day of trouble came, they would have no hope to cling on to. Those of us, those who love God and obey Him, are different. We do have a hope to hold on to. Sometimes, and perhaps some of us are feeling this at the very moment, sometimes it will feel as though we are only clinging to the wreckage in very rough seas. But we can look forward to a future that may be unknown to us and yet known to God. We may look back and see many difficulties, see many disappointments, and we may look forward to an uncertain future, but that future is not uncertain with God. When it comes to obedience and doing what God says, I am in no special place. I can think of many times when I failed to be obedient. Yet, there have been important times when God has made His plan to me clear, and I have obeyed. 5 years ago just now, as most of you know, I was preparing to go to China. And many people said to me as I was preparing, "You're very brave going to China." I was, as I've said to many of you, actually, I wasn't being brave. I was doing what God, through His Word, had shown me was the right thing to do. The brave thing to do, indeed, the foolhardy thing to do, would have been not to go. And this evening, I can stand here and confirm that when we obey God, He keeps His promises. The way may not always be easy, and it hasn't always been easy over the last 4 or 5 years. But he does lead us through it, and he does protect us. And in some ways, it's only when we start to move forward that we hear the voice that Isaiah spoke of, the voice that is behind us, saying, "This is the way, walk in it." We're asked to take the way of simple obedience. That's what Moses spoke about. We're asked to make the choice between following God or following our own way. Then, if we do that, we will be blessed. Look at verses 8 and 9. If we obey God and follow his commands, the Lord will prosper us. Surely not, however, in the way of making us rich. This is not the prosperity gospel. But he will take care of us and give us enough. I certainly want to emphasize that it's not the material blessings that are important. Almost, certainly most of us here tonight are materially blessed to an extent that would amaze even my grandparents, let alone the ancient Israelites. But I would want to emphasize that when we obey God, what happens is he will delight in us. That's what it says in verse 9. The Lord again will delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your fathers. And surely the delight of God is better than any material blessing. Our own individual situations will be very varied. Over the last few months, I've spent time here, and I've been blessed by many people, family and friends. It's been good to be back here again, even if at times it has not been easy. I've already been given an invitation to return to China. A contract has been signed, and God willing, in just over 3 weeks, I'll be there, or at least in Hong Kong. I'm painfully aware, however, that for many, 2015 has brought loss and sadness. I have relatives and friends who have had to cope with the recurrence of serious illness and all the anxiety that goes with that. I have other relatives and friends who have lost close family members. And this evening, I cannot help but mention the fact that this has been one of the most difficult years this congregation has ever had to face. Recently, somebody asked me for my reflections from a distance, thinking that my perspective might have some special insights. But the truth is that from far away or from close up, the situation we found ourselves in is incredibly complex and very difficult. Yet, I still believe that all these things happen for a purpose. And only last night, one of my friends said that good would yet come of it. Like Moses and the Israelites, we have to look forward. What are my thoughts, though? Well, they are my own. Nobody else is responsible. And they're certainly not very profound. But first of all, there is hope. God is not finished with you or with me, nor is he finished with Gilkenston. And even in the hardest of times, we can experience mercy and be given hope and encouragement. We need to surely look forward, perhaps not forgetting what is behind, because clearly there are lessons to be learned, but certainly straining towards what is ahead. There is a need to love. As Paul said to the Romans, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellows has fulfilled the law. We need to continue to love God and love each other. There is a need to obey. Clearly, as Moses tells us, there is a need to obey God and to follow what he tells us. But there's also a need to follow and obey those he has given to us as supports and guides for us at this time. To use a medical analogy, if we go to the doctor and ask for his advice, we need to follow it. It was certainly irritating for me when patients did not do that. We may at times shrink from the advice that we're given by the doctor or whoever. But if we trust our surgeons and trust our pastors, we have to follow their advice. There's a need to forgive. We are forgiven sinners. We have been forgiven much. And we need at all times to find it in our hearts to forgive others, even when we feel that we are in the right. Maybe especially when we feel that we are in the right. And we need to be quick to accept apologies when they are given. The one who is most affected by unforgiveness is the one who is unwilling to accept an apology. There is a need to fully rely on God. If you ever visit the Singapore headquarters of the organization of which I am a member, you'll see a sign in the grounds. It's written in Chinese and in English. Have faith in God. Somebody said to me a while back that we have to remember that only God will never let us down. Family, friends, teachers, pastors may eventually let us down for all sorts of reasons. But God will not do that. Even the best of us are frail and unreliable people. And we may need to remember that, even if it is painful. This talk was sort of written from the end backwards, in the sense that the conclusion came first. And perhaps it may even sound a bit back to front. But what I was thinking of as we move towards a conclusion was something that I first remember hearing in a school assembly in Elgin Academy many years ago. To my great pleasure, and somewhat to my surprise, the most watched programme on British television on Christmas Day was not EastEnders, or Downton Abbey, or even Doctor Who, my personal favourite. It was the Queen's Christmas broadcast. Once more, she used her speech to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. She's just about the only person in prominent public life today who's willing to talk about a personal faith in Christ, apart from what one might, for want of a better phrase, call professional Christians, like the Archbishop of Canterbury. David Cameron speaks about Christian values, but the Queen speaks of Christ, and we should admire her for that. As I get older, what seemed to me long distance as a child becomes recent history, and I was reminded of her father's broadcast at Christmas 1939, and this was what was quoted by the rector of Elgin Academy many years ago. George VI, like his wife and certainly his elder daughter, was undoubtedly a Christian. Even secular biographies talk of his conversion. In 1939, the country faced a situation almost infinitely more serious than anything we face today. Certainly far more serious than anything facing us as a congregation. The King's 1939 Christmas broadcast is available on YouTube, more than 50,000 hits. He ended it with a poem, and apparently it was given to him by the then Princess Elizabeth, his elder daughter. It's probably well known to lots of us, but it might just be worthwhile repeating tonight. Sometimes we think it would be really good to know the future and to know what will happen to us, but a moment's reflection would show how awful that would be. What we need to do is not to know the future, but to know that it is in the hand of God. George VI said, quoting this poem, "And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. And he led me towards the hills and the breaking of day in the lone east. So heart be still, what need our little life, our human life, to know if God hath comprehension? In all the dizzy strife of things both high and low, God hideth his intention. God knows best, his will is best. The stretch of years which wind ahead, so dim to our imperfect vision, are clear to God. Our fears are premature. In him all time hath full provision. Then rest until God moves to lift the veil from our impatient eyes, when as the sweeter features of life's stern face we hail, fair beyond all surmise, God's thought around his creatures our minds shall fill." So, when we're tempted to doubt, when we're tempted to think the future is dark and unknown, give thanks that it's unknown to us, but known to God.